all stand together if you're physically able to sing and stand. Number 9, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die that he might live redeemed. Blessed be the name. Sing number 10, who has a testimony tonight about something you're thankful for about God's name, His power, His strength? Who would like to share what you're thankful for about God tonight? Yes, Mrs. Wright?
I'm thankful that He is in control.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people think that they can debate so many things, but yet they still can't get, you know, control of this weather or the sunrise or the moon. That's there any of that. So, you know, the Lord is on the throne.
Amen. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about God and His name, His power, His strength?
Have His mercy and joy forever.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about God? All right, let's sing number 10, Caleb's song. Number 10.
I saw the giant of perilous death upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay.
A few? All right, most of the rest of us have. All right, let us bow together in prayer. evening, as we begin, I'm going to ask Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer tonight? Amen. You may be seated. Just by way of announcements, does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Does anyone need one? Okay, Paul, we'll help get one to you. Anyone else need one? Okay. Just by way of announcements, this Saturday we are going out soul winning, and hopefully the weather will be warmer then. How's the weekend temperatures look? Does anybody know? Colder? I don't think this cold though, right? Yes, I think we're back up to the 40s. So Dylan and I dress warm, and anyone else who wants to come on out. The water's fine on soul winning. It's a lot of fun to meet new people, go door to door, see the Holy Spirit work right in front of you. It's exciting to go door to door. Meet us at 3 p.m. here at the church, and we'll go out into the community. And don't worry, you can be a silent partner to learn the ropes, and it's neat to see God working in lives, and we run into some born-again Christians as well, so it's a great encouragement to them to know we care about them and their neighbors. All right, just by way of other announcements, in 2 weeks, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, February 10th, we are having our 25th church anniversary, and we have a special day planned for that. The mayor of Northfield's coming in. He'll be saying a few words and giving a proclamation. Dr. Waite will be coming in. And some of our longtime church members from over the years are coming in as well. They go to different churches now, moved away out of the area. But we'll be getting some good testimonies as to how God is at work and how he was at work. And so looking forward to that. Invite a friend with you for that special day. Then Master Club Regionals is coming up end of March, March 30th. How many are in 3rd through 6th grade? Raise your hand if you're 3rd through 6th grade. Okay. We're prepping you guys for regionals, okay? Regional competition. What we do is a Saturday in March, March 30th. We'll meet in the morning, go up, and you have the opportunity to earn ribbons. They have some gym games, so even if you're not maybe as good at memorizing some of the games, if you're athletic, you may win a ribbon for being athletic. So they have gym games as well as the memory games that Mrs. Gibson is teaching you. And so everyone has an opportunity to earn a ribbon that day. And if you want to do an individual entry, such as playing an instrument, does anybody play an instrument? How many play an instrument? Okay. You play. What do you play, Maya? What is it? Ukulele. Okay. All right. Do you know any, Amazing Grace or anything like that? Can you learn something like that on it? What's that? Okay. If you can learn something like that and then play it in front of the judges, you might be able to earn a ribbon. Or if you, there's all kinds of different things. If you give a hymn story, which is, one of the hymns in the hymn book. I have a book that has all the hymns, that has a lot of the hymn stories. All you have to do is kind of make it into a presentation. Take that one page of the book, make it into a presentation, present it for 3 to 5 minutes up in front of the judges, and you may win something for that. Or if you want to teach a Bible story, you can prepare a simple Bible lesson, and regardless if you win or not, the whole thing is you're doing something for God. You're serving God and learning and cultivating your skills and your talents for God. So if you talk to Mrs. Gibson about that tonight or myself, and we'll be happy to get you into some individual things as she teaches you the games as well. All right, then evangelistic meetings at the end of March as well. Looking forward to that. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Carol?
Yes. Had a few emergencies come up today, so I didn't get to make the receipts that I wanted to make, but I do have copies of the menu choices for the anniversary dinner. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give out the ones I have made up, and on the back of the copy, is everybody listening? on the back of the copy, thank you, if you'll put your name and your choices. The first page I'm going to give you that has the most choices on it are the adult menu. The second page I'm going to give you is the kids menu. So, maybe somebody can help me pass them out. All right, Samora and Messiah. Okay. Yes, so the adult ones, these are the kids ones. So if you'll just put your name on the back, tell me the choice that you want, and before we get to the restaurant, the your meals need to be paid for.
All right, so this is the page we have up on the... okay, here's the menu choices. So does this need to go around with that too?
No.
He's got it?
Everybody.
Okay. Okay, so, all right, for regionals, how many are in third through sixth grade? Third through sixth grade? Okay, good. All right, now listen carefully if you're in third through sixth grade. Here's your team events. Mrs. Gibson's teaching you before and after relay, right? Before and after relay? Okay, she's also teaching you Bible sequence relay, New Testament. You guys, are you working on that, right? She's also teaching you Old Testament themes relay. That's the ones that are on the board. I was doing that, but now that we don't have the men in there, the kids in there with me. Right or wrong relay she's teaching you. Story chapter truth 2 relay. And then Ten Commandments relay. So she's teaching you those, and how it's set up is you're in a gym, and you're five teammates, so we're probably going to have two teams. If we have enough third through sixth graders, we'll have two teams. And so one team is here, one team's over here, and you run up to the table, and then they'll ask you, okay, put story, chapter, truth. What's this story? And then put it together with this chapter and with this truth. And you match it up, and then once you're done, you go back. You know, so it's doable. You can do it. That's for the teams. You can win a team, help your team win. But then they also do individual of all those games upstairs. So you can also possibly win a ribbon if you're the fastest at doing those certain games. So that's the team Bible games. Then they have gym games. They have big ball bounce relay, chariots of carpet relay, and speed stacking relay. Now, the individual things that you can participate in are... Bible storytelling, so you can tell a story. We have flashcards that help you teach the story. So if you're interested in telling a Bible story, we have flashcards, and you can go up and do that. Then the hymn story, that's like Fanny Crosby wrote, Blessed Assurance, and she wrote it as she was thinking one day, and the Lord just gave her these words, and you tell the story of the hymn. Then missionary biography, if you want to do one of those, like I read about Samuel Morris the other week. That's this little missionary biography. So you take this little paper and you make that into a little 3 to 5 minute presentation and tell about your missionary. You can look it up online and print out a thing or two. Preacher boy, if you want to preach. Preacher's wife biography, if you want to tell about a great preacher's wife. Or a puppet team. We also have puppet teams that if you're interested in holding a puppet up and talking, I think they only had like one team do that last year. So pretty much they got first place, and there was no second, third, fourth, or fifth. So if we show up with a puppet team this year, you're going to win something. So these are just the options. So look carefully at this. We'll hang that, or I'll give it to Mrs. Gibson so she has it. And pick what you want to do. We want you to at least do one individual competition. It'll really help your skills, and it will be a blessing to you. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. So pick, for those coming to the anniversary dinner, you can pick on here what you want to eat for that, and let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Father, thanks for this day, thanks for this day, goodness and worship you, and thanks for this weather, Lord, that you provide, Lord, and bless all our house in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. This time we'll take your blessings and prayer requests. Who has a blessing to share tonight? Let's find out how Atlantic and Meadowview went. Pastor Logan, how did Atlantic go today? All right, we'll let her do it.
We had a good group, we had a good message, we had a good time of singing and rejoicing in the Lord, sharing prayer requests, sharing blessings. We talked with February coming up, we talked about a special that we'll be doing the day before Valentine's Day. It's the day that we'll be there, and I'm sure they're looking forward to that. So one of the men there always says that he wants to sing about God. So we did. We sang, God will take care of you. And I said, you know, we think about love with February coming up, but the best love and the most important love is God's love. So it was a very precious time.
Amen. All right. And how did Meadowview go, Esther?
It went well.
Good.
We had two visitors today. New people.
Amen. Yes, pray for Mr. Coppy. And husband and wife, Felix and Judy. And as far as I know, they were not saved, and they heard the gospel today. So pray that they get saved. Then also at Atlantic, we had Paul Jr., who might have made a profession today. So pray for him. And then also Regina came back. So that was a great blessing. Regina came back. All right, any prayer requests or answers to prayer? Yes. Okay, wonderful. What'd you play or sing? Okay, all right. So, singing. All right, anyone else? Blessing or prayer request? Mike, do you have a prayer request? Your mom. Yes. Okay, let's pray for Nancy Joyce, doctor's appointment tomorrow on her knee. It's hurting her a lot. Anyone else? Yes, Carol.
Before coming tonight, I had to go over to CVS to get Karen medicine. Her ears are very bad. I don't know if it's ear infections that she has, but she's been fighting problems with them, thinking that it was a sinus infection. But they're getting more and more painful. Even the verbal part of the TV bothers her. Everything bothers her ears right now. So if we could pray for that, as well as her upcoming doctor's appointment, which she needs desperately.
Okay, let's pray for Karen. Anyone else? Yes, Esther?
There's a Patty. She starts her evil radiation on Monday.
Okay. Okay, let's pray for Patty's chemo on Monday. All right, and it's good to have some visitors with us tonight. Is that Sherry?
Yeah.
Okay, and would you introduce your visitor for us?
This is Chelsea.
Okay, welcome, Chelsea. Nice to have you with us tonight. And where are you from, Chelsea?
I'm from MacArthur Township.
Okay, great. Are you in high school? College?
I graduated from college.
Okay, all right, good. All right, well, great. Welcome to our adult Bible study tonight.
Thank you.
Chelsea, yes. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
We have one more announcement, please. Maria just reminded me that we need to announce that on the third Saturday of February, we'll be having a ladies' Bible study at Maria's house.
Third Saturday in February. What's the date on that? Yes, third Saturday. 16th, yes, it is the 16th. Okay, February 16th. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests? Okay, at this time we'll dismiss the Master Clubs. and then the teen youth group with Mr. and Mrs. Hodge, and the adults to stay in here. And let's turn our Bibles tonight. I'm going to read a missionary biography before we start our study. The others, we're going to read about a missionary to Mexico. Okay, well, this one on, or you want me to turn this one on? Okay. Missionary to Mexico, Carlos Demarest. His name. There we go. It's good? Okay. When Carlos graduated from high school in May 1947, he had one mission on his mind, to marry his girlfriend, Martha Grove. He got a job working directly for Mr. J.C. Penney selling men's clothes so he could buy Martha an engagement ring. Mr. Penney was such an influence on his life that he later named his daughter Penny in honor of him. 6 years after Carlos and Martha were married, her dad opened his own general store, and Carlos began working for him. Although they were members of the local Methodist church, Carlos soon became convicted that he was not a Christian. He accepted Christ as his Savior in May of 1954, then surrendered to be a preacher 2 months later. He wrote, "I had to quit working for my father-in-law because after I got saved and was called to preach, I was doing more preaching to the customers than selling merchandise to them." Through his Bible reading over the next 5 years, Carlos realized the error in doctrine of the Methodist Church and joined the Wichita Baptist Tabernacle in Wichita, Kansas, where he was later ordained. Several years later, while pastoring in Indianapolis, God began to burden Pastor Carlos Demarest to print and distribute Bibles. He wrote, "A man in Africa had received a full Bible." He wrote back 6 months later and said that through reading that Bible, he had been saved. He said he had now 200 people meeting on Lord's Day. "What do I do now?" This man who'd been saved reading the Bible in 6 months. "Please send me Bibles." After that, every few weeks, we received hundreds of requests from Africa for scriptures. On one 10-day preaching trip, Carlos returned home to find 700 personal handwritten letters begging for the Word of God. Doors opened, burdens increased, and the goal of Bible printing and distribution enlarged. At the same time, Dr. Charles Keene had been led by the Lord to begin printing Bibles at First Baptist Church of Milford, Ohio. Brother Demarest was asked to come and raise money for the presses and paper. Once the Bibles were ready for the field, Brother Demarest found himself delivering the Bibles into Mexico. "Well, I did not want to go to Mexico. I didn't even like Mexicans, I thought," said Brother Demarest. Eventually, 16 acres of land were bought to begin a printing ministry in El Paso, Texas, on the border of Mexico, called Bearing Precious Seed. This was the beginning of over 40 years of printing in El Paso. Brother Carlos Demarest, before entering heaven, left a great legacy for young men and women to follow. Without the Bible, people of the world will never hear about our Lord. Over 250 tons of God's Word were hauled into Mexico. Untold thousands of precious Mexican people have been saved. Thousands of teens and adults from churches in the United States have traveled to Mexico. The work continues every day. Many have been called into the ministry under the influence, example, and the preaching of missionary Carlos Demarest. Only heaven and our Lord will know the impact of this one man, and his life lives on through the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. And there's a picture of Pastor Carlos with a Mexican man. And so you can read more about this if you're interested. We try to highlight a missionary every week or two. And that's what the kids learn in the other room, too. All right, Mark chapter 9 tonight. Let us turn to God's Word. Mark chapter 9. I understand the kids are delayed going to school tomorrow. Anybody delayed going to school tomorrow? Okay. What time do they have to be in? 2 hours. Okay. Is it going to snow tonight? Are they worried about snow? Okay, when's it supposed to snow? Flurries later on?
I don't know.
Weather and cold, okay. All right. Kids are like, I don't care as long as they get out of school. They don't want you to pull their leg. Mark chapter 9 and we ended with verse 30. Jesus had just rebuked the foul spirit, and the really wicked spirit came out of that son, tried to kill him as he went out. And we saw that last week, and how Jesus said, "This cometh not but by prayer and fasting." That's verse 29. Now, if you have an NIV, ESV, NASB, etc., it just says, "But by prayer." Why do you think that is? Why would West Cotton Hort back in the 1880s take out fasting? Any thoughts? Yes, Brother Dylan.
An effective way to overcome, some problems, right? Pass out and move.
Yeah. Yep. These two guys, Westcott and Hort, they were German rationalists that were unsaved. And so they were tools of the devil to weaken the Word of God. And so that's unfortunately what had got in. If you want more about that, how the Word of God has been weakened in the new versions, there's a pamphlet in the tract rack in the hallway there. It says, it's yellow, and it says Bible versions compared. And I encourage you to look at that. See how many verses have been changed, tampered with, and taken out. And so it's important that we know these things, because the devil is trying to take things out of doctrines, out of the Scriptures. But most importantly, the doctrine of Christ is what the devil has attacked the most in the new versions. It tries to say, and the King James says, "And Joseph and his mother went down to Jerusalem." Well, in the new versions it says, "his father and his mother." You know, is Joseph Jesus' father? Would the Bible make a mistake? Oops, we called Joseph Jesus' father. No, the Bible is precise. God breathed, inscripturated, Holy Spirit carried. God doesn't make a mistake. But Westcott and Hort, two German rationalist unsaved men, said, "Oh, let's change it here from pater to from Yosef to pater," and so they changed it. Okay, so that's what you have, and that's why we still use the King James, not because we're old fashioned or because we have some weird reason. No, it's because the Word of God has been tampered with, and so we don't have it tampered with, changed, edited, diluted in the King James. And in the Pew Bibles, you'll see the defined King James Version has definitions. So if you have an older English word that you don't understand, you can go right down onto that word will be in bold, and then you go right down there and it has the definition for you. So that's one of the nice things about the defined King James Bible. We sell them in the church bookstore on the hallway there. Okay, Mark 9, verse 30. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your word. We pray you speak to our hearts, Lord. Fill me with thy spirit that I may speak forth thy truth and thy truth only. We pray that you would help us to grow tonight. We pray you'd help us to fall in love with you and with your Son Jesus, who saved us from all sin. And we pray you'd help us tonight be with those who are not feeling well, that you'd put your healing hands upon them. Think especially of Tricia, Nancy Joyce, and Eunice, and any others who are sick. Lord, we pray you just put your healing hands upon them, and pray you bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark 9:30, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Okay, here we have Jesus as he's getting closer and closer to the cross. He's getting closer and closer to the will of his heavenly Father for his life, which is bearing the reproach of the cross and suffering. And so as he's getting there, he tells his disciples, hey, disciples, I've been preparing you these last 2.5 years for this time that's about to come. I'm about to go to the cross. And of course, before he went to the cross, he took them up into the mountain, Peter, James, and John, to be transfigured. He was changed into his heavenly glory. We just looked at that at the early part of chapter 9. So here Jesus is not just some, you know, guy who's going to bear the sins of the world, and he's humiliated, and you know, they did not just see a Jesus in just his humanity. They saw Jesus in his deity. He is the God-man. Okay? He is fully God and yet fully man. And so Jesus was showing them his glory along with his humility. You know, Jesus was showing them humility, but he also said, you know, Peter, James, and John, don't say anything about this until after I'm risen from, after I go back up to heaven, but I'm going to show you a little bit of who I am up in heaven. Who I am when I'm not here on this in this earthly body. And sure enough, God pulled the curtain back on Jesus, and boom, he shone like the sun, so bright that Peter, James, and John couldn't even look at him. Okay, so Jesus gives his disciples, and specifically Peter, James, and John, enough glimpse into his power, into his majesty, into his holiness. Okay, and then as they came back down from the mountain, that's when he healed that young man of the deaf and dumb spirit. And so now he's telling them, listen, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men. They're going to kill me. And after I'm killed, I'm going to rise again 3 days after. So here Jesus never states the cross without also stating what's after the cross. And so Jesus, whenever he talked about the cross, he didn't just end there. And I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to suffer and be rejected. And I'm going to die on the cross. You know, sometimes we end with the cross when we're talking to people, but we should also close with the resurrection. And he rose again 3 days later. So death had no power over Jesus. And he reminded his disciples that, but they understood not that saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Verse 33. And so, as they're talking, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? Okay, so point number one tonight, we see Jesus always states the power of his resurrection. And that's what we need to do. We need to state. That's the biggest difference between biblical Christianity and any other world religion. Do you realize that? All their founders are in the grave. Muhammad, the founder of Islam. Guess what? Go to Mecca and you'll find him there. His remains there. Jehovah's Witnesses, you go to Charles Russell's grave, wherever that is. And that's their founder. Mormons go to Joseph Smith's grave and wherever that is in Texas. He died in Texas in a gunfight. He was not very popular among his followers even. You know, he was a little bit of a shyster. And so he dies in a gunfight, not very glorious. But yet his followers kind of cover that up, and Brigham Young, who was a follower of Joseph Smith, you know, he becomes like the prophet, so to speak, to publish Joseph Smith's praises. But anyway, you look into all these world religions and cults, and guess what? All their founders are in the grave. But Jesus is not in the grave. That's why I'm a Christian, because my God has power, and he has power to save and change lives. Verse 33, so they dispute among themselves, Jesus said, what was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? It's interesting. Did Jesus know what they disputed? He heard them talking. Did he know about it already? Yeah, he already knew. He knows everything. You know, when the Pharisees and lawyers were gearing up to ask him some of those tough questions to try to stump him, what'd he say? Even before they asked him sometimes, he'd say, I know the hardness of your hearts. You know, Jesus knew the questions they were going to ask, and he beat them to it, and he stumped them. Jesus knew the woman taken in adultery. He knew all about what had happened and how, even though he wasn't there, Jesus knew that she had been taken in the very act, as they told her, but he said, where's the man, you know? So Jesus knew there was injustice there. And so he responded with mercy and forgiveness, and he said, go and sin no more. She believed on him at that moment. The woman taken in adultery believed on Jesus as her Savior. And he said, go and sin no more. And so we see beautiful statements by Christ because he knew what people's thoughts, motives, and actions were. Well, here, he already knew what they disputed of who should be the greatest. Verse 34. So he takes the moment and says, they didn't say anything. Verse 34, but they held their peace. Because they didn't, why do you think they didn't say anything? Why didn't even Peter or James say anything? Yes. They didn't want to what? Okay. Well, here Jesus asked them, why were they disputing among themselves? What were you arguing about? Why did none of them want to tell him what they were arguing about? If Jesus were to hear our conversations, you know, which he does, by the way, all of our conversations, by our words. Remember, Jesus is going to, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to call us into account. And Jesus says that we will be judged by our words. Okay? So this is like a little foreview or preview of the judgment seat of Christ, you know, kind of a little bit sobering, a little scary, you know, should scare us because, you know, we should watch what we say. Well, here the disciples, they were all like, I'm not going to tell them. Are you going to tell them? I'm kind of embarrassed about that. They were all embarrassed about it. Why? Because they were arguing about who should be the greatest. So they didn't say anything. They didn't reveal what they were arguing about. So Jesus says, disciples, come, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. And in his loving, but yet kind and leaderly manner, he sits them down, and they didn't ever answer him what he was talking about, what they were arguing about, so he just said it. Okay, I already know who should be the greatest. Verse 35, and he saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, if we look at Jesus' teachings all through the gospel, we notice a paradox, right? What is the great paradox of Jesus' teachings? If we want to gain our life, what should we do? If we want to get everything we can out of our Christian life and gain as many blessings as we can, what does Jesus say to do? We have to lose it. Lose ourselves by giving it to him. That doesn't make sense, Lord. I've got to lose my life if I want to gain it. Well, and then what else did he say? It's kind of a paradox. Any other paradoxes of Jesus? Think of the corn of wheat. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies. You know, that little grain of corn has to die first. The outer kernel has to die in order for the inner part of the kernel to germinate and give life. And so that's what he's saying. We have to die to self, die to your outward flesh in order for the inner part of you, which is your soul and spirit, to germinate and take off. Take off. It's amazing. The paradoxes that Jesus gave. Well, here's another one of those. Whosoever shall be first. What does he say? If any man desire to be first, the same shall be what? Last of all. Okay? And what? And servant of all. here, if we took a poll tonight of everyone here in this room, we'd all like a, how many would like your mansion up in heaven to be closer to Jesus? How many want to be all the way across the 900 miles, 1,000 miles up in heaven? You want to be all the way across heaven where you don't even have a glimpse of Jesus' throne. You know, his throne's probably going to be in the middle of heaven and probably up on a mountain in that huge New Jerusalem. So he'll probably be able to be seen from every angle. But nonetheless, we all would prefer a closer proximity, right, to Jesus. Well, that's what Jesus said. If we want that closer proximity to him, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. We've got to put ourselves last if we want to be first. And that doesn't make sense to the world. Jesus' teachings, that's why Jesus' teachings, he's not the first one quoted by the world. Why? Because they don't understand it. They can't fathom it, you know. The servant of all, the last. No, if you want to get ahead in life, you've got to be the big CEO, you've got to be the head honcho, you've got to be the man or the woman of that company to take them where they need to go, and you've got to assert your authority, and you've got to make sure everyone knows that you're under that they're under you. Well, that's how the world treats leadership and fame and recognition and importance. But God says, nope, opposite. If you want to be a great in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be the servant of all. And so the world doesn't understand these principles, and it can't until they get saved and trust Christ as Savior. So here Jesus then takes a child and sets him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, let's read verse 37 together, whosoever, keep reading, one of such children, in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Okay, so point number two tonight we see, to go up in Jesus' eyes we must go where? Down. Or go lower. We must go lower. And so here Jesus takes a child and puts him and he sets him in the midst of them. You know, children, especially back then, were not considered very important. Okay? Don't talk when adults are around, and we don't even want to know you're here. Okay, that's how they looked on children back then. Some of the previous generations had that kind of attitude. But children were not important. Why? Because they didn't have anything important to say until they were age 30, really. That's when Jewish culture looked on a young man as having equal worth at age 30. Okay? And so here, a child was not important to the disciples. They said to the disciples, shoo, child, we don't have time for you. No, Jesus is busy now. Don't you see he's teaching? Jesus said, whoa, stop. Forbid them not, for of such the kingdom of heaven. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus loves the little children. And why? Because that's the same way we have to come to him. You know, if we ever get to the point where we think little children are not important, we need to start reading our Bible again. Jesus says that the kids have their priorities in order. The kids, especially those 12 and under, have their real priorities in order. Why? You teach a child about Jesus, and they're going to naturally be drawn to him. They're going to naturally say, you know what, I don't want my sin. I want to repent of my sin. I want to believe on Jesus as my Savior. Yeah, I want to do what you're saying. And they can naturally get saved sooner or later, pretty quickly. But an adult, you do the same talk with an adult. You know you're a sinner, and you can't work your way to heaven, and no religion can save you, and no good works, and you got to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ alone. They say, What? I don't buy that. I'm going to be trying to do it myself. And all these things. Well, so here Jesus said, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. So when we help children, When we teach them the gospel, when we then disciple them, you know, what's going on next door, that's important because why? It's keeping us humble before God because it's the world doesn't always esteem that as being important. But number two, it helps us remember that, hey, that's exactly how Jesus wants our mind to be. Simple. Our trust to be simple. Our belief in Him to be simple and yet full. Full. A child fully depends on Jesus to save them. Why? Because it's simple for them. You know, it's not complicated. Same thing with us in our Christian lives. We need to depend on Jesus fully all the time. Okay, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting devils out in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Here we see Jesus then says, the disciples said, hey, what about those guys across town that are casting out demons in your name, but they're not following you? Lord, shouldn't we tell them to stop? Shouldn't we say, hey, you got to become authorized, you know, disciples of Jesus? You know, you're not authorized, so we got to authorize you. No, Jesus said that he that is not against us is on our part. Now, of course, there's a lot of false teachers in this day and age, so we don't want to confuse false teachers with those that are on Jesus' side. Okay, so just because they say they're a Christian doesn't mean they truly are a Christian, and we can't put our stamp of approval upon them. But there are a lot of born-again Christians out in the world that are doing the work of Christ, maybe in a small area, maybe in a small church, or maybe in a place where we didn't even know they were, ministering in a community, ministering in the neighborhood, and they're preaching about Jesus, how to be saved, and they're trying to help people and disciple people. Well, we shouldn't discourage them if they're trying to follow the Bible. You know, we should not discourage them. We should say, hey, you know what? They have their ministry. We have our ministry. I've met a lot of different people over the years. In fact, Pastor Logan and I met at Meadowview Nursing Home. And he would go in there every day to visit his wife at the time when she was alive, and he would go in there, and I had never heard about a pastor who had a ministry there in Atlantic City that was, you know, soul winning, out knocking on doors and trying to help people come to Christ, and I was glad once I heard, oh, that's wonderful, that's great that you're out there and your church is there, and we made a fast friendship. Okay, so we should have an open attitude toward people that are trying to do Christ's work and not discourage them. Oh, well, you have to come under our board, or you have to come under this or that or the other. No, we should let people minister. Why? Because he that is not against us is on our part. Verse 41, Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Even something as simple as giving a little cup of water to someone is worthy of a reward in Christ's judgment seat. Isn't that amazing that one day that one day Christ will reward something as simple as a cup of water? You know, so as we go door to door, sometimes people say, hey, you know, I'm saved too. This is great. Hey, can I offer you a bottle of water? Can I offer you a glass of water? I never refuse. Why? Because I don't want to keep back a blessing from them. And usually it's perfect timing. You know, Dylan and I were up on the boardwalk. When was that? Back in September? September. Yeah, we were up on the boardwalk and I was street preaching. Did somebody come by and give a bottle? I forget what happened that day. What's that? Okay. I forget how that one turned out. What's that? Yeah, you got me one time. Yeah, and last time I had went before not with Dylan, but with other people from the church. My throat was getting parched. I was preaching up on the boardwalk, telling about Jesus and how easy it is to be saved and how people need to repent. And I was getting really dry, really hoarse. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up out of nowhere and says, "Hey, here you go. It's a bottle of water for you." And sure enough, I drank the whole thing right there. Why? Because it was another Christian seeing another Christian ministering in the name of Christ, and he said, hey, there's a need here, and I'm going to fill that need. Okay, so I didn't know that guy from Adam, but I knew he was saved because he told me that, number one. But number two, then he did something about it, and he gave a bottle of water. So we've got to encourage those Christians around us that are doing their part. They're doing something for God. Let's encourage them. Let's give them a cup of cold water. Let's give them an encouragement. Let's give them this or that or whatever they need. Why? So that we can work together and for the cause of Christ in His harvest field. And then one day up in heaven, when Jesus is handing out the rewards, we'll say, oh, I didn't even think about that when I did that. And Jesus will say, well done for doing this. Well done for doing that. You know, and so if Jesus will stop and do something for someone who gives a cup of cold water, can you imagine all the other things that we can get rewarded for? So let's not think of the judgment seat of Christ as just one that's, oh, I'm scared, you know. No, let's also think of all the things we can do to earn his blessing upon us. Any questions as we close? Questions, comments? Anything? Yes, Pastor. It's true. It's true. Highway robbery up there. Anything else? Anyone else want to share something? Yes. Amen. Yes. So not only is there future reward, but as Sherry said, there's present reward for staying close to Christ. We feel His presence. We you know, the Christian life isn't just a mental ascent. Oh, I learned what God wanted me to learn today, and that was it. You know, I read my Bible and I prayed. No, it's also He wants to then give us that experience that follows it. You know, when someone blesses you like that with a bottle of water to fill a need in your life, or whatever it is that there's a need in your life and you've been praying about, all of a sudden you feel very overwhelmed when it actually happens. So there's present blessings of good experiences that God wants us to have often. Now, is it all going to be good feelings every day, the Christian life? No. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And our feelings are more of sight, not faith. But there will be good feelings that will come as we live for God. But we shouldn't live for those feelings. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let us break up into our prayer groups. Ladies, pray on this side, and men will pray over here. We'll do it a little different tonight, and for the next 15 minutes. Then the kids will come in and share what they've learned.